This episode is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. Cold season has a way of showing up like an unexpected plot twist, right in the middle of big moments, good stories, and days that are already full. That's why it helps to keep a little comfort close. Kleenex Lotion Tissues help protect, soothe, and moisturize your skin, giving you the support you need right when you need it. Whether you're commuting, binge listening to your favorite show, or managing a little family chaos, Kleenex lotion tissues are made with coconut oil and aloe. For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
A bump in the night. Your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you. Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, September 20th, 2024, and just rocketing by this year.
Right?
Just going for it.
We did all the San Diego, Phoenix, and Vegas shows. They were great.
Thank you very much, everyone, for coming out. We had a blast. We're recording this on September 11th, but we're assuming it all went so very well. Thank you all so much for coming out. What a great show.
Oh, yeah.
Each and every one of those was. And you know what? What we did was at all of those shows, we took all your laughs and all the laughs that we've had throughout all of the 2 years now we've toured this show, and we've punched them into a nice, tight, just so tight, final show that we're going to do on October 17th for our Full Moon Energy show.
Mm-hmm. That's the last one. You got to get it while you can. So
come on down.
Go to sinisterhood.com/live shows. It's our last Full Moon Energy show, October 17th at the Texas Theater. It's everything you love about the show, but it's all centered around the moon.
That's right. That beautiful baby up there in that sky that shines down on us every night. And we've got some tricks up our sleeves, some surprises, but ultimately it's going to be a banger of a hometown show. They always are. The Texas Theater is probably the best place in Dallas for us to do this because it's got a big ass screen and y'all about to see our slideshow that we made for this show. So we can't wait. So yeah, like Christy said, go to sinisterhead.com.
God, that screen is big.
It's humongous.
I just remembered how big that screen is.
It's so big. If you want to know how big the screen is, watch our 2022 special live at the Texas Theater. You can watch it on Patreon. It's included on Patreon if you're in the $5 tier and up. And you can see the poorly photoshopped images that we like that I make are...
I'm sorry. Ghost was very real.
There's a ghost in the Texas Theater that we captured on image, but you can see how it's probably 50 times as tall as we are. So it's excellent. We love it. And, you know, haunted Texas Theater. It's a spooky old theater where they caught Lee Harvey Oswald. So October 17th, the Hunter's Full Moon. Be there or perish.
It's high stakes, this one, because you're going to burst into flames if you're not there. So hope to see you. Well, in the meantime, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Ellie, and it is called Walmart Child Bride. Hey, ladies, I'm a longtime listener, first-time Freaky Friday submitter. You are my absolute favorite to listen to, and I saw you live in Milwaukee this past spring. I always mean to write in, since I have some wild stories, but your first episode on Ken Rex McElroy and the mention of Missouri reminded me of an experience I had as a young teenager on a family trip to Branson, Missouri. When I was about 13, my family and I went on a road trip to Branson, Missouri. After a long 8-hour drive in our minivan with my parents and my three brothers, we finally made it to the closest Walmart to where we were staying. Whenever we travel, we always stop to get groceries for the week and our special vacation cereal. My mom was not a fan of having sugary cereal in the house regularly, so on vacation, we each got to pick a box of our own. Anyway, the six of us made our way into the store, and my parents gave us all something to look for and grab for the cart to make the trip go faster. Why else have four kids? We gathered all of the things we were tasked to get and piled it into the cart. As a family, we went over to the cereal aisle. My brothers and I were strategic in our cereal planning. No repeat cereals, only family-sized boxes or bags, and no cereals that were too similar in flavor. Thinking about our passion for cereal 10 years later makes me giggle. It was the six of us in this aisle, and one other guy who I had seen around the store while we were shopping. He looked like an older teenager, maybe in his early 20s, and I specifically remember him commenting on how full our grocery cart was. None of us thought anything of it, as there were bigger, sugary issues at hand. Once my cereal was selected, and I'd had enough of my brothers, I asked my mom if I could look at the clothes section to see if they had anything cute. Naturally, she said yes, as she had no issues letting us wander by ourselves. I found my way to the clothes section and was looking at the classic 2014 style staples, skater dresses and skirts, tank tops with Starbucks logos, mustaches, or Batman symbols, and my favorite, those stretchy maxi sundresses with the giant florals, off-the-shoulder sleeves, and waffle-textured tops. I hope I painted a picture. I was looking at one of the aforementioned sundresses that had some cool ombre tie-dye going on, when I felt someone watching from behind me. Thinking it was a brother, I turned around, ready to shoo him away. But I was met with a young man from the cereal aisle. I was a bit startled to see him peering around a clothing rack. "That dress would look really nice on you," he said to me, stepping closer. I laughed it off and said something along the lines of, "Oh, thanks. I noticed you were with your family earlier. Where'd they go?" he asked. I told him I stepped away, but they were around. He then proceeded to tell me how pretty I was and told me about how his aunt was the manager of the store and I should go with him to meet her. I politely declined. I didn't know if he was trying to impress me with that, and if he was, I literally did not care that his aunt was the manager. He then asked me how old I was, and I told him I was 13. There was a bit of surprise on his face, but he didn't miss a beat. "Oh, wow, I thought you were around my age," he said. "And how old are you?" I asked. He replied, 19. "You must be so mature for your age. My aunt would love to meet you. She's the manager here. Let's go find her." Now, this whole interaction seemed benign to me up until this point. I am pretty notorious for being clueless, even in my adulthood. I just tend to assume the best in people. The second he said he was 19, though, I was uncomfortable. He was 6 years older than me, and why did he want me to meet his aunt so bad? I don't remember what I said in response, but thankfully, my older brother came and found me to tell me we were leaving. Saved by the older brother. When I told my mom, she did mention how in Missouri, that age difference isn't that crazy, and how girls around my age can, and have, gotten married. Maybe he wanted to see if I was wife material. I brushed it off as an unfortunate flirting encounter and went on with my life. However, when I tell this story, my friends say it sounds like he could have been a pedophile or a human trafficker. I didn't realize how it could have been a much different outcome until I was an adult. I'm thankful my brother showed up when he did. Whatever way you cut it, that man had no business talking to a girl so young. So what do you think? Was he shopping for a child bride at Walmart? Was he a human trafficker? Or was he just some awkward guy trying to flirt with me? Thanks for taking the time to read this. You guys rock. I have plenty of stories to share, including my dorm room ghost, my college stalker, a disgusting prank phone call, and a silly made-up cryptid my brothers and I created. I've attached a photo of me at 13 to show just how young I really was at the time. Braces, Dr. Seuss Converse, and all. Keep it creepy, Ellie.
To quote the great Stanley Hudson, "That little girl is a child, and I don't want you sniffing around her no more this afternoon. For real, though, that, yeah, I don't think it might have been a pedophile. I think it was.
Yeah.
It was perhaps he was 19 at least. Perhaps he was older. Who knows? But I think he was trying to bang himself a middle schooler.
Oh, yeah. I would agree. I think saying, you know, come with me. It's the aunt. Never let him take you to a second location.
Right? I mean, and you go, oh, my aunt's a manager. Let me just take you back into this office. Oh, she's not here. That's crazy. Locks office door. Yeah, that is wildly inappropriate to approach a little kid. And it's like you go up and go, that dress will look nice on you in your braces and your Converse with Dr. Seuss on them. And the second she's like, I'm actually in seventh grade. The answer is not, you seem so mature for your age. Because that then you are the creep in the bushes. Instead, it's, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. You should probably go find your family. I apologize. This is embarrassing. But not being like, oh, well, you want to come see the back office of this Walmart? Like, that's going to make her go like, his aunt was a Walmart manager. He might as well have been Justin Bieber. It's like, no, dumbass.
The picture Ellie sent, you look like a very average 13-year-old, very young. I would never look at a kid like that and think, oh, they're probably like in college.
No, maybe she's my age. She's graduated. Like, no, it's one of those where it's like, he knew that the answer was between, 11 and 15 probably and was happy with that. So, yeah, that is it's one of those things where you're glad that your sibling pops up right when they do. And you're like, oh, thank God, get me out of here. So good for you, Ellie. And also, that cereal plan, so choice.
Yeah.
You guys were so strategic. I love it.
Power in numbers. You know, it takes a village. You get together, you create a plan. How can we maximize our cereal week?
It makes so much more sense, too, than to just be like, well, I just want Apple Jacks, so whatever you guys want. But it's like, well, if we can all figure it out, then we all get more cereal. And that's the kind of cooperative living that I'm hoping we're all going to take in with us into this next era of our lives.
For sure. No, Mom knew what she was doing. She was like, this is the one time a year where they all work together to solve a problem.
Yes. She's like, what I'll do is I'll tell them they can't have cereal until a vacation, and then they'll work together. Mm-hmm. It's like, genius. And we all get cereal. So thank you, Ellie.
Thank you so much.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, this next one is from Laura, and it's called I Know What I Heard. Hello, ladies. I just want to say I think you are great and I love the podcast. Here's my story about my one and only experience with a Ouija board. It was the summer of 1995 and I was in middle school. I had been invited to spend the night at one of my best friend's houses for her birthday. Me and a few other girls in our friend group went to the birthday girl's house in the early evening. We played outside, made up dance routines, prank called a few people, and then her mom ordered pizza and we had cake while she opened her presents. It was just a normal birthday party, and I was having fun. Then the birthday girl suggested we go to her basement and play games. Okay, sure. I thought her basement was a little dark and creepy, but I didn't want to look like a baby, so I went along with the other girls. We played Girl Talk for a while. Anyone remember that game? And then one of the girls spotted a Ouija board on the game shelf. "Can we play that?" she asked. "Oh, no way," I thought. But they all seemed excited to play. I told them, "I am not touching that, but I'll sit and watch." They all kind of teased me a little, but didn't try and force me to play. I moved myself off the floor and onto the couch and hugged my knees tight. I was so scared. I was scared of everything as a kid, but stayed in the basement and watched them get started. Like I said, it was the summer of 1995, and the big news story was the O.J. Simpson trial. All our parents were constantly watching or reading something about it. The girls started asking the Ouija board questions about O.J. Was he guilty? Did he have help? Then one girl asked, "Nicole, did O.J. murder you?" And that's when I heard it. The most bone-chilling, blood-curdling scream I have ever heard. I whimpered, my hands shot to my ears to try and drown it out. It seemed like it lasted so long, but was probably about 5 seconds. After the screaming stopped, I looked at the other girls with wide eyes to see if they were scared by it too. They were all just staring back at me. "What's the matter with you?" one friend asked. "You didn't hear that scream?" I said, with tears forming in my eyes. No, none of them heard anything. I jumped up and ran up the stairs two at a time to get out of that basement. I busted in the kitchen and told the birthday girl's mom, "I want to call my mom. I want to go home." The other girls came running up the stairs behind me. They were too scared to stay in the basement as well. Her mom calmed us down and told us it was all in our heads and convinced me to stay. I don't think I slept at all that night. None of us did. I was so ready for my mom to come pick me up the next morning and get the hell away from that Ouija board. I told my mom the story, and she too said, "It was only in your head. You just scared yourself." "No, ma'am. I know what I heard." To this day, if I think back on it, I can still hear that scream in my head. I have never, and will never, go near a Ouija board again. Thank you for reading. Hope to catch you on tour sometime. Laura.
Well, Laura, I've recently been suggested clairaudient TikTok videos that is people that talk about tapping into the clairaudience, whether it is, and it sort of connects with what we talked about on last Freaky Friday of like this idea of like things coming to you or listening to spirit guides or kind of being, you know, being told what to do in a subtle way by the universe. Mm-hmm. And one of them is like people say that they think they hear either when they're like meditating or trying to commune or whatever and things like that. So is it our subconscious, you know, telling us like empathetically, this could be what it would sound like. And it's, you know, you delving into the depths of your empathy, or are you tapping into some like universal consciousness and you call for that certain thing? And if that thing is able to hear you, it returns the call. I don't know. That's girl talk for you, baby. Put that phone down.
That's what happened. Yeah. Girl talk, you can hang up the phone. You can't hang up the screaming in your own head.
We got to hack the Ouija board with the girl talk.
I was the one to bust out the Ouija board at all the sleepovers. So I
and I was the one holding my knees in the corner going, "Oh my God, mommy, daddy, I need help. I got to go home. Someone take me home. I'm so afraid." That would always be me. It was the little baby in the corner being like, "You guys, I'm going to tell mom if you get the Ouija board out." It's like, "Shut up, Heather."
Oh man, I loved getting scared and spooked. Yeah. But if I heard screaming in my head and no one else did, that'd probably do it for me. I'd probably hang up the Ouija board after that too.
Yeah, I would never ever touch it again either. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still, after our Paranormal Activity and that Ouija board set on fire, I was like, bitch, I didn't know they could do that. I'm not trying to burn my house down. I ain't bringing one of those in my house for fire purposes, at minimum fire purposes.
Right. Well, this next one is from Anonymous, your sweet daughter.
Hello, dear.
And this is probably, maybe you can help her with this, because perhaps she is asking, "Do I have a doppelganger?"
I have a lot of kids named Anonymous, sweetheart. So yes, you probably do. Mama's been busy.
Well, this Anonymous writes, "Hey, girls, longtime listener, but this is my first submission. Love the pod. I work as a paramedic, so I come across a lot of different people from all walks of life on a daily basis. I love my job and wouldn't change it for the world, but this is beginning to freak me out. For context, I started my job 7 months ago. At least once a week since I've started, I've heard something along the lines of, "Have you been here before?" or "Have we met before?" from patients or their relatives. Whenever I say, "No, I've never seen you before," they always get this confused look on their faces. I know I meet a lot of people, and it's totally possible for me to forget, so I check their history to see if I've been the one to treat them before. I never have. 2 days ago, I got the same comment from three different people in the same shift. One was a passerby. He said to me, "Oh my God, it's you again." When I told him I'd never met him before, he looked confused and said, "You have a double out there somewhere then." It's happened so often I've even asked my mom if I had a twin I was separated from at birth. I didn't. I've asked people I work with if they can think of anyone people might be getting me confused with. No one has any idea. And even if there was, what are the odds we attend the same patients on a regular basis or come across the same people on the street? I work in London. It's huge. Bear in mind, I can't think of a time I've ever had this happen outside of my job. Even people I work with have noticed how often I get these comments. Every time it happens, I update the family group chat, and my sister isn't sure how I haven't had a full-blown identity crisis yet. It's really starting to freak me out. So I guess the question is, do I have a doppelganger, or is this just a coincidence?
Well, you might have a doppelganger because we covered doppelgangers on a mini-sode. Yeah. And part of that, there's a website called twinstrangers.net. So you can go on there and put your face in and see if there's somebody else that sort of looks like you. But the BBC posted an article like 5 or 10 years ago that they said with about 7.4 billion people on the planet at the time, there is a 1 in 135 chance that you would be like an exact doppelganger with someone, or like close to exact doppelganger, like the average eye couldn't tell you apart. So it's not like a 1 in 5 chance or a 1 in 2 chance, but it's not impossible. And if you like search up like real life doppelgangers or listen to that mini-sode or any, there's a documentary we talk about on it and stuff like that. There are people that genuinely look twinish with somebody mm-hmm. that's like from a different culture, a different country, a different mm-hmm. completely, but that they really favor each other. Someone recently did celebrities that it was a ton of celebrities that looked a lot alike too, and I was like, oh, I thought that was the same person. Oh no.
There's only so many faces, right? That can be made from all the mm-hmm. shit we're made out of. So
could be.
1 in 135 is actually lower than I thought, or I guess higher than I thought it would be. I thought it would be like 1 in 1,000,000.
Yeah, like 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 10,000, but it's like 1 in 135. And that's estimated. I think they check a bunch of like military personnel and like driver's license, like stuff that's like public pictures of folks, and mm-hmm. then tried to use like compare the software. But we also talked in a true crime headlines about that person whose face got picked up by facial recognition software saying he had robbed a place, and he was like across the country and they still mm-hmm. arrested him. So because we have at least a 1 in 135 chance, we got to be careful with those facial recognition things
yeah.
or somehow otherwise, I don't know, identify
DNA
ourselves.
Only.
Yeah, only.
DNA only.
Then you have people who get the, bone marrow transplant, and then it changes your DNA. So then it's like, who the fuck even are we?
No, I ask myself that every day.
Yeah, right. Every day. What am I doing here? Who am I? Yeah.
The fact that yours only seems to be at this hospital, though, is very interesting.
You should go to the hospital and hang around. And then that when you're like, yeah, what was my name? See,
I was thinking timelines.
Oh, maybe it's you in a different timeline. Mm-hmm. There's that, too.
Because I got something going on right now.
You got some theories.
Good. I'm still trying to flesh it out. I don't know. I don't have a good enough handle on it yet to bring it to the masses. But could be.
It's percolating. Perhaps
they both work in this hospital. Or, you know, if your timeline splits, you're still working in the hospital, but it's just a little bit different.
Just a hair off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let us know if you go to twinstrangers.net or if you do any proactive doppelganger searching and what you come up with, or if anybody listening has done that and or through whatever means has found your doppelganger, I'd be so fascinated about that. Not like the type that we're talking about that you're going to kill, but I mean,
yeah,
like just another person
that
looks
supposed
like
to kill him.
I just meant Yo, that is awkward. You're like, I'll participate in the study. And they're like, we found her. And I'd be like, and now she must die. There can only be one.
What was her address again? Yeah, there can only be one.
Oh, man.
Well, let us know, Anonymous. I don't know. I feel like you gotta. I'll keep thinking about how we can make contact.
We'll figure it out. Sinisterhood will be right back. Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, this next one is from Stevie, and the subject line is, I saw something I can't explain in Mousehold Woods, Norfolk, UK. Hi, ladies. I'm recently a new listener, but have been absolutely binging all of your content since my beautiful best friend Ellie recommended you guys. I have a story that I would love to share. I live in a city called Norwich in the UK, and it's a rather strange place because right in the center of the city is a huge ancient forest called Mousehold. It's very beautiful and well-loved by most of Norwich. Do not love all the stories of perverts hiding in the trees, but I've never experienced any of that. This particular encounter occurred early summer 2022. I had a new baby and had just dropped my elder son off at school. I needed to do a food shop, and it was the first warm day of the year, so I decided to take my baby in her pushchair and take a longer walk through the woods to get to the supermarket. I need to stress that it was the first properly hot day. I was a comfortable temperature walking in my sundress, and everyone I passed was also excited, dressed for the warmth. As I walked deeper into the woods, struggling with my pram over the uneven terrain, I noticed a man. At first, I was struck by his unusual size. He was tall enough that it drew my eye as unusual. Not crazy cryptid height, but definitely taller and wider than the norm. The other unusual thing about him was he was dressed in a way that would be unusual any time of the year, let alone on such a mild day. He was wearing a full fur coat. It looked extremely heavy and thick. On his head, he wore a leathery-looking hat with a fleeced lining poking out and flaps that came down over his ears. He also had a very thick but tidy beard. I didn't get any bad or dangerous vibes from him. It was just surprising to see someone so large dressed so unusually. But shrugging him off as just an eccentric walker, I continued to walk towards him. As I got closer, I kept one eye on him at all times in case he was one of those pervs hiding in Mousehold. He stood eerily still, and although looking in my direction, seemed to be staring straight past me. I assumed maybe he was looking for his dog, as the woods are very popular with dog walkers. To make things feel less awkward, I smiled and waved, but he didn't move. I was close enough now I could see his fur coat rising and falling with his breaths. "Good morning," I said in an upbeat, chirpy voice to try and get a response. I'm not sure why, but at this point, I got goosebumps and felt strange. Not scared, just off. As I drew up next to him, pushing my sleeping baby, I swear I didn't take my eyes off him. Between one blink and the next, he was gone. I can't explain it. No puff of smoke or shimmering out of focus, just gone. In my head, I kept trying to make it possible. Could he have hidden behind a tree or run off? But he was huge, and I was so close to him, there was no way. The first thing I did was voice note my friends to try and dissect what I saw. Looking back, I'm surprised I didn't run off, but I still didn't feel scared. At no point in this interaction did I feel me or my baby was in danger, so I just kept walking and did my shopping. I walked back the same way and didn't see anything else. I've not seen him since. I'm an illustrator and paint fairies for a job, so I like to tell people I saw a fairy. My friends think he was a ghost. My mom thinks he was my guardian angel. My partner jokes that he was Bigfoot. When speaking to Ellie, the friend who recommended this show and who's probably listening, partner, he said that he knows people seeing similar things. A strangely large man with a beard and furred clothing. But they talk about this man carrying a club and being scary. As far as I remember, this guy had no club, and I don't think I would have felt calm if he had. Still, weird that there are similar stories out there. Love this podcast. Love how kind and inclusive you guys are with your language, care, and respect for the people in your stories.
Well, this kind of is what I'm percolating on. What
if Hagrid?
It could be Hagrid, or it's a timeline glitch, and he's just there, and we're all existing at the same time in the same place. And
seeing through the layers.
Yeah, sometimes it's just like, if you're turning a TV and it's just static, and then all of a sudden you get to like a glimpse of a picture. Mm-hmm. That's what I kind of feel like.
That's what it feels like. I think we talked about it before, maybe that the episode of Doctor Who where they have like the Cybermen, they think they're ghosts, but really it is this like switch that switches between timelines, and the switch mm-hmm. is like half. And so it feels like there's ghosts everywhere, but the ghosts are confused because from their perspective, there's ghosts, but it's like, we're all just trying to do our own thing at different layers, and somebody left the switch halfway undone. Mm-hmm. So it could be that. That would explain why he just vanished and disappeared. I briefly looked up Mousehold, which sounds like a really cool place. It is interesting. Oh, yeah. There's like an ancient forest right in the middle of, you know, stuff all around it. But there are some like ghastly legends. I couldn't find any where it talked about someone with the club and like a fur coat. But I was just briefly looking and saw people say various ghosts. So that could include, you know, any of this. So it could be that maybe it's like a uniform of like a type of, you know, soldiers or whoever used to occupy that area. Viking or something. I don't know. I like that. Like he kind of sounds a little bit like Ignatius Riley from the Confederacy of Dunces, but that's the wrong continent. So maybe it's not him. But if anybody listening has been to Norwich or Mousehold and saw a guy in a fur coat with a club, please send it in so we can pass the info along to Stevie and she knows she's not alone.
Santa? Could it have been?
St. Nicholas.
That's different. Yeah.
People think he has a club with him, but it's not a club. It's just his bag, and it's just got a bat in it because he's going to give it to a kid, and people thought it was a club.
Mm-hmm. I just now realized, and I've read this story several times now, that when Stevie talked about the perverts in the trees, why did I think she meant up in the trees?
Not hiding, like behind. You mean they climb it?
Like up in the branches. And then I imagine like a drop bear. They would just drop down on you. But it probably makes more sense. They're hiding behind a tree with their wiener out.
They're up in the tree and they've got a net and they drop it. No, I think it's more hiding behind the tree. But that it's like, why y'all perverts got to go in our forest and ruin it for everybody? Maybe the guy in the fur cloak walking around the club is keeping the perverts at bay.
Maybe.
Well, thank you, Stevie. Yeah. This next one is from Sierra with the subject line, Almost Chainsaw Massacred. The year is 2003. It's Friday, and the newest Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie is out for rental at Blockbuster. On Fridays, my stepdad would stop on his way home and grab movies for all of us to watch together over the weekend. He liked horror movies. I blame him for my at least part of my obsession with the macabre. Me, 11 at the time, my sister Bree, who was 9, my stepdad and mom watched the movie that evening after dinner in the living room. Now, if you don't remember, this is the movie with Jessica Biel in it, And at the end of the movie, it reads that the man who was the killer was never found. Me and my sister looked at each other, horrified. We asked my stepdad if that was true because he was the smartest person we knew, and he said, "Yep." We left for the kitchen to grab snacks and drinks before retreating to my bedroom for the rest of the night. We were shook about the movie. Bree went off into the bedroom and was lounging on the futon before I came in with my snacks and went to shut the door. I was facing her, discussing the movie and how horrifying it was, when the look on her face was of complete and utter horror. Before I could even turn around, all I heard was the roaring sound of a chainsaw in my ear. Bree screamed at the top of her lungs, and I just collapsed on the floor in a puddle of my own piss. At 11, I accepted that my fate was to die, and I laid there and accepted it. Between absolutely howling laughter, my stepdad asked me if I was okay, at which point I started laughing and replied, "Yeah, I just peed my pants." I still laid there. I could not move. My body was frozen. My sister asked what he was using to make the chainsaw sound. It was a toy from my brother's room. My stepdad was full of pranks, but that was the one time he got me good. One time he scared my brother's friends that were sleeping over so bad they all went home. He should have been a scare actor in a haunted house. His talents were wasted. Rest in peace, Jim. We lost him to a brain aneurysm last year, but I want his legacy, no matter how terrifying and effed up it was, to live on.
I'm glad you have a good sense of humor. Just the immediate peeing of pants is so real, though.
Yeah, dude, relatable. Just hit the floor, piss the pants, and then assess the situation. You're like, guess I'm changing out of these PJs. But yeah, I'm glad you took it in stride. And it sounds like he was doing it in good fun. You know, he like immediately showed that it was him. But I love that you have your love of the macabre that you inherited from him, showing you when you're 11, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I think we all relate to that, too, of being, like, way too young to watch movies that we watched.
Oh, man. Tommy's got some stories. Oh, yeah. Blockbuster days were the days when you would just get some, order pizza and just rent some movies and fucking hang out. Yeah.
Walking around Blockbuster, if they did those movie deals and they're like, and it's a bucket of popcorn and a candy and a movie, I was like, oh, my God. Even though it was just like, Act Two microwave butter popcorn, but it still felt like it was like better because it was from
special treat.
Yeah. I love it. Those memories. Well, thank you for sharing Jim with us, and we're sorry you lost him, but it sounds like his terrifying legacy definitely lives on with you. Maybe you can pull a prank on your brothers and sister to kind of bring back some of the memories. Sinisterhood will be right back. Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This last one is from Jay, and the subject line is, either the worst lucid dream ever or an alien abduction. And he writes, "Howdy from Ontario. Thanks for everything you guys do with the podcast. I just started listening this year, and I'm flying through both your main episodes and the Freaky Friday selection. You guys make the monotony of a desk job way more exciting. I was inspired to send in this story after listening to the story about the friendly streetlight alien companion in episode 74 of Freaky Friday. I wanted to start by saying that story reminded me of old folk tales about the Will-o'-the-Wisps. The juvenile, happy feeling could be attributed to a fae spirit that was simply curious. To me, it could make a lot of sense that fae folks were just how aliens were interpreted back in the day. My fiancé and I potentially ran into something similar in a campground we stayed at while on a road trip through Wisconsin this past year. However, that's a far more boring story, but one I can tell you if you're interested. Anyway, the following is the story I wanted to share. If you have any ideas about what this could be, please let me know. I'm 50-50 on whether this was a lucid nightmare or something that could have happened in some kind of physical or spiritual way. But I'll stop babbling and let's get into it. At the time, I was living in a student house in a university town in Ontario, Canada. For privacy reasons, I'm not going to specify exactly where, as it doesn't matter for the story. My bedroom was a small room on the second floor of the house, with a small window facing a small parquet. It was a relatively normal night for me, chilling, watching Netflix before going to sleep. I have no idea how long I had been sleeping, but I awoke to a bluish-white light coming through the blinds of my bedroom window. It wasn't pulsing or flashing, and it was much, much brighter than the regular light that normally comes into my room, from either the streetlights on the other side of the parquet or from the moon. This made me curious, so I got up from my bed and went toward the window. Even before I pulled the string to lift the blinds, the light was so bright that it was hard to look directly at it. As I lifted the blinds, a warming, calming sensation spread all throughout my body. I could no longer look away from the window, however. The light was so bright that I couldn't make out any discernible source of the light, let alone any shape or form. This didn't last more than a minute or two before my vision started to blur, and I must have passed out, because my memory goes blank after this point. The next thing I'm aware of is regaining consciousness in a weird, unfamiliar location. I'm lying on a bed-like table, the whole thing lifted at a slight incline. It's cold and hard, more like a metal frame than any sort of other bed. All around me is what I can only describe as a curtain-like covering that encircles the entire bed as well as the space on what would be the ceiling above me. This curtain obscures any vision of the area outside of the bed. It's dark gray in color and billows and moves in a strange way, more like rippling water than fabric. Being in an unfamiliar environment scares me, so I attempt to sit up. This is when I realize that my body has been entirely immobilized. Each time I attempt to sit up, a tingling nerve sensation runs up and down my spine. I then attempt to lift my arms and legs, but they're stuck as well. However, the sensation that I feel now is entirely different. Instead of a nerve-like sensation, it feels like a barbed pin is sticking into my elbows, wrists, knees, and ankles. The only way I can describe the sensation was the pulling feeling experienced when you accidentally get a fish hook caught in your finger, the barbs of the fish hook making it incredibly painful to pull away from the hook. I try and look around to see the rest of my surroundings or to see if there's any gap in the curtain. I immediately get a combination of the two sensations in my neck and head. Nerve pain shoots up and down my neck, and it feels like there are fish hooks right at the base of my skull on either side of my spine. I now begin to panic. I have no clue what to do. I attempt to scream or call out, but no noise can escape my mouth, no matter how hard I try. I don't know how long I was there, but there was an extended amount of time in this immobility. I occasionally keep trying to move my limbs, sit up, or call out, but all my attempts are just as useless as the first time. All of a sudden, I'm aware of a presence on the other side of the curtain. I hear what sounds like pattering feet coming towards me, closest to where my feet are. This sound isn't normal, sounding more like metal on metal or claws clacking, rather than what bare feet or shoes of any kind would sound like. The sound is also much more rapid than what a human gait would be, more like a scuttling sound a crustacean or a bug would make. Whatever was walking must either have much smaller legs than a human or more than two legs. Due to the curtain, I still can't see anything distinct. However, the rippling of the curtain begins to be more and more rapid as the presence approaches my feet. The rapid rippling begins at a single point, then spreads outward across my entire field of vision, becoming quicker and more violent the closer the clacking footsteps become. Very quickly, the rippling appears much more like the static you would get from an old television rather than any kind of liquid I'm aware of. Something directly at the edge of my feet catches my attention and begins coming into view. My eyes seem to be the only part of my body I'm able to move without the nerve pain or the stabbing fishhook feeling, so I dart them downwards toward whatever is approaching. A tall, skinny silhouette becomes visible in the static. I can make out no discernible shape, but there's an outline in the curtain, casting what looks to be a darker gray shadow in the static. The clacking stops, and whatever it is just stands there across from me, immediately on the other side of the curtain. I still can't see anything properly, but I know for a fact that it was intently staring at me. At this point, sweat is pouring off of me. I'm terrified, but I'm still unable to move and unable to scream. The silhouette doesn't move from my feet, but I feel something akin to needles piercing my skin up and down my spine. I have no idea why, since it's not moving at all, but I'm certain this entity is responsible for the needle feelings. The needling goes on for a good amount of time. Without warning, a strange sound begins emanating from the silhouette. It's a chattering, clicking sound, somewhere between that of a parrot's chatter and the clicking drone made by cicadas. It's incredibly loud, and the sound begins hurting my ears. Then, the clicking sound is no longer alone, and I'm aware of other sources of sounds clicking in response. I'm then aware of the clacking footstep sound again, this time coming from either side of me, near my head. In my horror, I realize that this vocalization must be some kind of communication method and that more of the entities are approaching towards me. I strain my eyes to their limit, attempting to locate the exact direction of the new approaching presence, but I can't move my eyes far enough. In my panic, it becomes very important for me to see the new entities, so I start trying to turn my head. The stabbing fishhook pain becomes worse and worse the more I strain, beginning to feel more like a knife stabbing at the base of my skull. Tears roll down my cheeks, and if these were normal wounds where the hooks are holding my head, I'm certain blood would have been pouring down my neck. This effort is all in vain. I'm now in agony, but still haven't been able to move my head more than a millimeter or two. The new footsteps stop right next to me, the curtain static rippling more violently than I would have thought possible. I can't see them, but I'm very aware of the multiple new entities present standing right next to me, that same piercing gaze that can be felt coming through the curtain. They're clicking at each other in a deafening chorus. My ears hurt so badly at this point, I want to scream at them, ask them what they want, what they're doing, why they're doing this to me, but I'm still entirely unable. I'm suddenly aware of one of the entities right above my head. It's closer than any of the other ones. I make a final attempt to strain up and look at it, resulting in the worst stabbing pain yet at the base of my skull, accompanied by the nerve pain in my spine that has become so bad it feels closer to electrocution. The entity at my head must want to get a closer look at me as a new shadow suddenly begins creeping down into my field of view from above my forehead. A head begins pushing against the curtain, bulging out towards my face, but maintaining the static-like texture, rippling violently. It must be within a few inches of my face looking down on me with the obscured head moving right in front of my eyes. At this point, I shut my eyes tight, silent screams unable to escape my mouth, clicking, ringing in my ears, agonizing pain stabbing into my neck and running up and down my spine. At this point, I pass out. I have no idea if it's from the pain, the fear, or if the entities did something to me, but all the same, everything goes black. I wake up suddenly, back in my room, back in my bed. It's still dark outside, but the first rays of sunlight must be peeking over the horizon as I can see around my room. I'm cold, clammy, and absolutely soaked from sweat. Tentatively, I try and sit up, now finding I can move again with my own free will. However, this is hard at first, as a dull ache is still coming from my spine, particularly at the base of my neck. My arms and legs also feel heavy and exhausted, as if I had run for miles the day before. My blankets have been strewn around my bed with part of them wrapped around my leg. I slowly get up, disentangling myself from the blanket, and approach the window. But the bluish-white light was obviously not there. Reassuringly, the parquet and the neighborhood looked the same as they always do. I'm too terrified to go back to sleep, so I just watch some more Netflix until the sun fully comes up. Thanks for reading my story, whether or not it gets read on your show. I hoped you enjoyed it. Luckily, this is the sole experience like that that I've had, and I'm grateful for it. Cheers from the Great White North, Jay. Sinisterhood will be right back. Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Fiscally responsible financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds.
Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way.
Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yowzers, this is like a Twilight Zone episode.
Right?
Oh, I can picture all of it. That staticky, like, and then the head, like, just coming through it, but it's still that. But the worst part of this is that I think you had a bunch of giant bugs, is aliens. And Tommy told me the other day that if they're something about...
Some scientists said they would, like, most likely be buggish or something.
Like spiders, yeah.
Yeah,
that like sucks. And have 8 legs.
That sucks.
And I hated that.
That sucks, because, like, I don't like that. Like,
no, I hate it. I hate it.
I want them to look like the aliens from South Park.
Yeah, yeah. I just want them to look like the classic alien with the oval head and the big black, like what we all know and expect.
Yes.
These I do not like, but 8 legs is, oh, it wasn't spiders, it's crabs.
Crabs, yeah. I've heard this
sounds kind of crabbish.
And I hate.
The clicking and the walking around fast like a crab.
On the one hand, horrifying to have giant crabs that are so big they could stand next to the bed of you. On the other hand, think of the meat, baby.
Those legs.
Think of that crab legs, dipping it in butter. But on the for real side, it does bum me out when I hear people have like extraterrestrial or like whatever encounters. And then it's like, and they were giant bugs or giant. Like there was a lot of scuttling. And I'm like, nope, surely you made that up. Surely that was all imagination and it's not really aliens. But that is, Jay said he's 50-50 on whether it was just a really gnarly lucid dream or some sort of crossing between, like we were saying earlier, are we going through a different dimension? Is some, because now all the government people that were talking about aliens and unidentified, whatever they're calling them now, not UFOs.
UAPs
and they're now becoming more comfortable using the term interdimensional beings versus, so it is this idea of like crossing between dimensions versus extraterrestrial, like they're on a planet somewhere, like you said, like we're all like here already at just like different levels of the apartment building or just whatever
different
it is.
Channels.
Yeah, we're all tuned to different channels. That's why it's all staticky and you're coming through.
I don't subscribe to that streaming network, so don't come for me. Also, I can take down crab legs like nobody you've ever seen. So just give me one of those little bitty little thingies and then like a thing of butter. I'll take them all down.
So good. Yeah, they're going to be like, our family, no.
like, you're delicious.
You're so good. I want to dip you in butter. But if anybody listening has had a similar experience, kind of like Jay said with episode 74 with the alien that they saw, sort of, or entity or something they kind of maybe felt from the streetlight. We love stories like this because I think just the more people that hear them, the more chance that somebody has something similar and that you all could know you're not alone with this. But I'm glad. I mean, I'm sorry, Jay, because it sounds fucking painful. Like fish hooks in you at all. And you know that feeling, right? Of like, if I rip it out, it's going to be worse. And then just the idea that like, from a distance, not touching you, that something would be able to activate pain, whether it's like real pain or pain reaction in your nervous system or something, that is blood curdling. Like, ooh.
And then you wake up and you have that pain still.
Yes, like, it's still there.
Were you just thrashing around so much in this lucid dream? But most people say when they're lucid dreaming that they're pretty still in bed.
Yeah.
But it could, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it looks different for everybody. Even if this was a dream, and I've had dreams like this too, that it's so intense and so real that it sticks with you for years. I mean, I can recall like scary dreams I had decades ago because they stick with me so bad. So even if it was a dream, clearly it was scary as shit. So either way, I mean, yikes.
Right. It's one of those where it's like, what is real anyway? Like we've had people say that they felt like they lived a whole life in a dream, or like I've had dreams that I wake up and they make me cry. And it's like our brains are dumb. They feel like they really did that thing. Or you wake up and you're like, that was so fun. I told you though, most of the time my dreams, I'm in like the far off future and I just have a job. And I'm like, I'm just like filing things, walking down the street. Like what? Ooh,
we live in different dream worlds. And I wish that I could come visit yours because mine are filled with
demons
and monsters. And sometimes, like, I fly all the time.
That's cool. And I don't fly. I just walk around.
Oh, I fly a lot. But
my work,
it's usually because I'm trying to get away from something.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good at all.
But mine sometimes, the other night, I had a dream where I was flying over the ocean and I was like all these cruise ships, and it was almost like, it wasn't in Australia, but you know, like the fireworks show, how like the opera house and everything is there and there's just lights. It was kind of like that, almost like a theme park on the ocean. And I was just flying above it. And that was cool. And I had a good feeling in that dream.
You're like Iron Man, dude. You're like Miss Captain Marvel. I told you when I was assigning at my bachelorette party and I got all sobbing and choked up and I was assigning Marvel characters of who everyone was based upon personality, I said I was like Iron Man and said that you were like Captain Marvel and she flies and that totally tracks.
There you go.
In an alternate reality, you're Captain Marvel for sure.
Well, I love that. I am sorry I don't get that reference because I've never watched that, but I imagine it's a compliment.
It's a huge compliment. I love her so much. It's one of my favorite Marvel characters for sure. But dreams like this, man, and like you said, some of the ones you have, like where you're like, no, like I was somewhere else. Like that felt immersive and different and somewhere else to the point of I wish I knew more. And then one night I went down a rabbit hole because I read this book I read this article in Scientific American about just like dream studies and like perhaps in the future we can map them based on these MRI machines and Neuralink devices or exterior devices that mimic Neuralink that you might be able to like, I could see what your dreams look like, right? We could like make them into a video. But then like we have that technology, but then on the why do we have dreams? What are they? It's like, we don't know. A lot of theories, a lot of theories out there. And I'm like, oh, cool.
Oh, man. I apologize forever who's going to get to see what my dreams look like because they are gnarly.
They're like, ma'am, we can't show these to other people. This is disturbing content.
I get it. Please don't.
I fucking know. mine, they just erase because it's fucking boring. They're like, she's like filing it. Although sometimes I'll just be working or looking out a window and then something crazy will happen in the sky. And I'm like, that's crazy.
Oh. I wonder what's going to happen. So, dude, I had one a couple months ago that was so real and vivid that when I woke up, I could still feel it. And I was in some kind of like high-rise office building or something, looking out these floor-to-ceiling windows, and I could just see everything is like fine at first, but then I look out and I can just see this plane headed right towards us, and it hits the window, and I could like feel the explosion, and I felt like myself flying across the room and landing and everything. And even when I woke up, I was like, that was so real. And the places I visit in my dreams are often, it's like the same landscape, the same dreamscape. Mm-hmm. There's just different same. Little places of it.
That's right. That's how I feel. There'll be times that I'm like walking down the street and I'm like, oh, that office building that I work in is over there. Or like that, the place that I have, that bridge that I've crossed before in this dream is over there. So there are times that I'll like come back to the same place and it's weird. I don't know, man. If y'all are, if anybody listening, you're like a dream expert or something, or you know a dream expert, we got to do like a, you know, sometimes we have interview shows where we'll have like a bonus episode. Man, if we could find some lucid dreaming experts or some just like dream interpretation experts, we got to do some interviews on that, because I am fascinated by it. But also, anybody who's had this like fish hook experience or the crustaceans scuttling around you or whatever, please send them in so that Jay knows he is not alone. And thank you, Jay, so much for taking the time to so beautifully write your experience, because that is a lot of pain for you to be conjuring up and writing. So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. It was very well written. And I mean, I could picture all of it, and it sounds terrifying. So
yeah.
I'll see you in my dreams tonight, Jay. It sounds like we go to the same place.
Yeah, you guys are hanging out at the same place. For sure. But everybody, thank y'all for y'all stories this week. Man, what a lineup.
Yes, thank you so much to everyone. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/freakyfriday. Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next. And just from joining, we send you an archived bonus content once a month. Or you can join and dive into over 900 hours of so many segments. True Crime Headlines, Dear Sinister, Heather Saves, Judge Christie. We got all sorts of stuff.
So many things. Oh, we keep it fresh. If y'all... make sure you check our unpopular opinions, as well as Tommy's response that touches on Stephen King. We also have an Am I the Asshole that was some Reddit submissions, and there were some assholes. There were some non-assholes, but we want to hear what you all think. So check those out. And then we've got some more coming up too. At the end of the month, we've got a huge true crime headlines. That's like probably maybe could be like its own mini-sode for the month. It's going to be so long. But we are working on that right now as well. So that'll come out after we're back on tour. So probably next week. But all you have to do is join for a week at a free trial. You cancel before the week is up. You don't get charged anything. And if you join for that week, you can binge as much stuff as you want. You can check out the special we talked about earlier, Live at the Texas Theater. That's on Patreon. You can check out video versions of the episodes ad-free, so you don't have to watch any ads, as well as monthly live stream replays, the monthly mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet. And if you join for a year, you get a month free. So head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos, and use that Patreon discount in the pinned post to get a deal.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. And you'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to all those full moon energy. Oh, really? Just the one. Just Texas, the one baby. When this comes out. Yeah.
At the Texas Theater.
Follow
us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can watch full video versions of the episodes early and ad-free on Patreon, or free to everybody on YouTube. We also have clips of the show over on TikTok and custom video shout-outs from us to you on Cameo. We can say happy birthday, happy anniversary, congratulations, I love you, a pep talk for yourself. Folks order them as gifts for each other, but some people order them for themselves because they want advice, they want a pep talk. Whatever it is, we love to connect with you all via those videos. It's like getting a FaceTime video from us. So on demand that you can rewatch as much as you want. So cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where are you at on the computer?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
You can find me at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
This is Julian Edelman from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. Sunday mornings, I've got my game day ritual. Coffee, lucky socks, and now new morning Uncrustable sandwiches.
It's all about that 12-gram protein boost with the new Uncrustables Bright-Eyed Berry or Up and Apple flavors.
Bright-Eyed Berry's got a feisty receiver energy.
Up and Apple? Your classic do-it-all tight end.
Soft, pillowy, packed with protein, and easy enough for Gronk to grab from the freezer.
Whether you're on the couch, driving to the tailgate, or heading to the locker room, new morning Uncrustable sandwiches are the MVP of snacks.
Your new Sunday kickoff ritual starts here with new morning Uncrustable sandwiches packed with 12 grams of protein.